We've had our car set up here, but you don't see it today because that car is invisible. And because it's born of the Spirit, the things of the flesh are flesh, and the things of the Spirit are spirit. You don't need to see the automobile. You don't need to actually see it. You need to know about it because that's how the Word works. In fact, I will say it like this: the Word and the Spirit always work together. The Word and the Spirit. Matter of fact, I was amazed, Brother Don, throughout some of the songs that you were singing. I saw the connection of the Word and the Spirit in some of those songs this morning. It's amazing. We have an amazing God. And He's Almighty God. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. And we sing songs, but it's Him that we are worshiping. We don't worship just to put in time. We don't sing to put in time. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says, in fact, you know, the woman that Jesus was talking to at the well, she thought it was all about a place that we worship. And He said, well, the time is coming where the place really won't matter, but because God is seeking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, last week we talked about the fuel that runs the car, the vision. You know, the vision that is born of the kingdom is given by the kingdom, and that has people in the kingdom that helps us, because the Spirit and the Word want to work through us. I'll be honest with you. You cannot do anything without the working of the Word and the Spirit of God in you. You can't work in India. You really can't. You can't do it alone. This is not by might nor by power. In other words, it's not by your own strength that you can. Oh, you can do programs and you can do administrative things and you can, you know, somebody says make things happen. Yes. You can do that, but oftentimes you are frustrated and powerless because you need the power of the Spirit of God and you need the Word of God. That's one of the reasons why we need the giftings of the fivefold ministry: the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the apostle, and the prophet. You need to have all five giftings working through the church and operating in the church so that the church can be complete and whole. That vision needs to have people in it in order for the Spirit of God and the Word of God to work through. They are, as we said last week, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made. Nothing is made without Him. Wow. So this week we want to talk about the oil. We want to talk about, I mean, you have to have the fuel in an automobile is gas and oil. And we have to have both. Now, I'm not trying to bore you by using the demonstration and the illustrations over again. I'm not trying to do that. But I need you to grasp the concept of how this kingdom is run. The disciples thought it was all about Jesus taking control, setting up a kingdom that would take over and dominate and overthrow the Romans at that time. But Jesus did not come in the same mindset of the world. You see, He came as man. He walked in an Abrahamic covenant. Yes, He did. But you know, Jesus, it says of Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, 39, and you know that God anointed Jesus, who is the Word, of Nazareth with the, anointed him with what? Anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus, it says that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then it says, and we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the cross. But Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Word, the Word and the Spirit always worked together. They could not be separate. They had to work together. That was in the making of God, you see. The Holy Spirit did not work separate from Jesus at that point, you see. He was anointed. Jesus, it was this same Jesus that said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, I will build my church. And this is the greatest building program of all time. It is not a building of brick and mortar. The building is powered by the same power that he had and that he operated in. And he received instruction from his Father. He's always received instruction from his Father. In fact, he says, I do nothing, but I hear my Father saying it. I do nothing, but I see my Father doing it. So he did not work separate. Matter of fact, people would like to know, they're trying to ask me, so, you know, how can there be three persons in one? And I always say it like this, yet we serve one God. It's like this. That the three work so closely together, you can't tell them apart. You know, they work so closely together, you can't tell them apart. Biggest building program that there ever was on this earth is the building of the church. You see, our car is not made up of plastic and metal. You know, it's not put together by tools. It's like we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There's things about in the spirit realm that we do not see. But everyone, in fact, it says in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God, 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ uses the word born of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loves him. Now, King James uses the word begat. Begat. Loveth him that begat, loveth him. In other words, everyone that believes loveth God. But you also love those that are born of God. In fact, verse 9 of John 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, interesting word, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. The NLT says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them, so they can't keep on sinning because they are the children of God. Jesus says something, you know, he was having a conversation with Nicodemus. And Jesus says in verse 5, I assure you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born, and it uses the word, without being born of water and the Spirit. Now, there are some people that believe, and it's quite okay, if they want to believe that, that's fine. I personally believe that the born of water has to do with the Word of God. You're born of the Word of God. In fact, 1 Peter says that we are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And so we are born of the Word of God, but we are also born of the Spirit. See, humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So, you know, being born again of a, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's how come we end up with having eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every one of us can be born again. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he came and he died and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And the Bible says, you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. So those that are in the car, that are operating under or in the vision of the Spirit, okay, they have and are partakers of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That is the power, that is the fuel that helps us not only know God more, but it also is the power and the fuel that enables us to tell others about Jesus. Praise God. In fact, one verse says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. A few weeks ago, this scripture was read from Psalm 133. How, and I'm going to read it out of the King James for a moment. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that even went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing and even life forevermore. Let me read it for you out of the Message Bible. How wonderful, how beautiful, how wonderful and beautiful it is when brothers and sisters get along. It is like the costly anointing oil flowing down upon the head and beard, flowing down upon Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes, and it's like the dew of Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands a blessing and ordains eternal life. Hallelujah. Let me say it like this. If there is not unity, there is not flowing. In fact, when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the congregation. But smack in the middle is the love, what we call the love chapter, often read at weddings. And if I speak with the tongues of men, see, interesting, right? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if I have love, it's just a noise. You've got to have love that flows into this thing. In fact, the Spirit, okay, comes out of and works in and works with God who is love. You know what's interesting to me? Paul the Apostle was talking to a congregation that was deeply in trouble. They had, the Bible says, they had all the gifts. They had every one of the gifts, but they didn't know how to get along. There was so much turmoil in the Corinthian church. So Paul the Apostle has, I mean, there was even sin that was in the congregation that Paul wanted them to deal with. And that's a whole other message, and I won't go on the rabbit trail of that. But he wanted them to operate not just in the Word, but also in the Spirit. You see. But he puts this love chapter right smack in the middle of all this conversation about the gifts of a church that came behind. They did not lack in any of the gifts, but they did not know how to love one another as the scripture had told them that they should. They didn't know how all that works. How is it that oftentimes that in churches there are turmoils and there's stuff that happens and we find it hard, you know, because everybody's got likes. Some like rock and roll, and some like country. Some like fiddle, and some like brass. Some like green carpet, some like white carpet. Some like white walls, and some like black. We got such variations and differences. Listen, I'm going to say it to you like this. I am so glad you all don't look like me. Just as our faces differ, our needs differ, our gifts and abilities differ, that's just the way God planned it. You know, I can't say, you know, if I happen to be the arm, you know, in the body of Christ, I can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Man, you just do things so differently. I can't sing. I just can't. My hand doesn't wear a shoe. I would look pretty funny. I heard about a boot that was on somebody's head, though, this morning. I did hear about that. And you know, it sounded pretty like a funny story. And, you know, but I can't say, you know, to my fingers or to my toes, I don't have need. That's not how this operates. The body has to function together and work together. But it does so with the fuel of God, by the word of God. How do we overcome the darkness? By the word of our testimony. You see. Well, if there's no unity, there is no flowing. It can't work. It just doesn't work properly. There's got to be anointing that's poured, just like it was poured in Leviticus 8 down upon Aaron's head, and they anointed him. And the interesting thing is in Leviticus 8:12, it says he was anointed to sanctify him. Interesting word, because that word sanctify means basically to separate. Why does he need to be separated? Well, there was special work that Aaron needed to do. Okay? And let me say it like this. The anointing of God is so that we would be separated for the work of God. And it's not just for the preacher. It is for the whosoever. The Holy Spirit was not poured out just for the preacher. In fact, the Bible indicates to us, it doesn't say, but these signs will accompany the preacher. It says these signs will accompany the believer. If you don't believe that there's speaking in tongues is not for today, you probably won't receive, because it comes by believing. It's part of the believing. And it's received as easy as you receive salvation. You know, the early days when I remember they used to pray for somebody to be filled with the Spirit, and some said push and some said pull and some said up and some said down, and you didn't know whether you were coming or going or up or down. You know, just from the prayers of people. It was really interesting to listen to all this. Yet the job got done. Glory to God. The automobile's not made by a kingdom. It's not like any other vehicle, but there is an anointing. There is the fuel. It was given to the kings of old. Saul was anointed. Yes. Later on, we find it. By the way, Saul wasn't God's choice. It was Israel's choice. They wanted a king. They really, at that point in time, were setting aside. They just said to God, we'd like to be like other nations. And God said, well, okay. You know, You know when the Bible says that he grants us the desires of our heart? You have to realize that not all of it's good for us. We receive, because some of the desires, they may be nice, but not necessarily what God desires for us at that time. It's interesting. But the Bible says that Israel rejected God as king. But Saul was chosen. Saul, a little bit later, was rejected by God, and David was anointed. And the Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, David was anointed, and the Spirit of God came upon him that day. He was anointed. David was anointed as king. But he wasn't appointed as king yet. He was only anointed. He was given the ability, but it was, I think he was about seven, he was about 17 years old when he was anointed as king, and he didn't get put in place as king for some approximately 17 years later, 15 to 17 years later. Interesting. In fact, David, when he was anointed, had to go back into the pasture because there was some more stuff that he needed to learn. But anointing was very powerful. And the Spirit of the Lord did come upon David. In fact, David, the Bible says he was a man that was after God's heart. And when he was seeking the Lord with all of his might and strength and heart, and he was singing to God, on a daily basis. And it was actually in the pasture that he birthed some of those songs that were to the Lord God. And he actually birthed a lot of those psalms while he was running from Saul. Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. But Saul didn't understand that. What's funny? Sometimes I hear preachers say, you're not supposed to touch the preacher. Not supposed to touch the anointed one. Yeah, there is a sense where that's true, but you have to understand, David was anointed by God. Saul was rejected by God. And yet when David was going to take a slice off of Saul's garment, he said to his men, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Now that may not make a whole lot of sense to you, but David was saying that about somebody that God had rejected, that the anointing had actually already departed from Saul. But because Saul was in place as the leader, David recognized the place of authority, the office of authority, and he would not touch it. In fact, when the Bible says that he took that little piece off of Saul's garment, the Bible says that he sorrowed in his heart. Something had happened in his own heart simply because he took a little piece, And to those that were around him, it didn't make a bit of sense. Why would our leader, David, that was anointed by God for the job, why wouldn't he just slay him and take the position? David knew he didn't take position. He was given position. You don't take authority. You are given authority. Where does that mindset come from? You have to understand that David, that the time that he was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. He operated in a different spirit. You see. Now, jumping into the New Testament, we see the anointing coming upon people. In fact, the disciples, they cast out demons and healed many sick. In fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter 13 that they anointed them with olive oil. And they actually, back then, in working with Jesus, some people, Jesus did not use oil. He just, he got some spit and mud and made a little plaster and plastered under the guy's eyes and then says, go,
go to the pool of Siloam and, you know, and go to the pool and wash up.
The Bible says when he did that, that he was healed. Some people Jesus spoke to.
But you have to understand that out in the wilderness, using that word wilderness, my wife and I had a great time in Mount Carlton, out in wilderness camping. And we were out in the wilderness for a while, and it's so quiet out there. Woo! Every now and again, you might hear a truck going across by the highway, but not very often. You might hear some birds, but out in the wilderness. How did I get off on that anyway? A little rabbit trail. But we enjoyed ourselves, and we didn't have any trouble. We enjoyed ourselves a lot, enjoyed the canoeing on a very calm lake. But they were the disciples, as they were ministering to people out in the wilderness. Sometimes that they would anoint people with oil. Demons were coming out. Sicknesses were healed. Those that were lame began to walk. James chapter 5 says it like this: if any of you are sick, interesting word here, if any of you are sick, you call for the elders of the church to come and to pray over you. You call, you know, sometimes we'll, in church, we ask for people that are sick that they would like to have healing. They can come forward, and okay, I get that. That's totally right. That should happen. But there are times when people are in hospitals and they're home and they're sick, and the Bible says if they are sick, you call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And such a prayer, verse 15 says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Did you get that? They'll pray for the sick. They will heal the sick, and the Lord, there's the fuel. And the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed sin, you will be forgiven. This oil, this anointing of the Old Testament and the New Testament was for the setting apart of leadership, for leadership change. It was for authority and power. It was for healing the sick. And the oil came by the anointing oil and by the same Spirit. In fact, whether it was by the baptism of the Spirit or even impartation, that's how the oil worked. That's how the fuel worked. Hallelujah. So in Matthew or in Acts chapter 1, they were, verse 4, once when he was sitting with them, Jesus talking about it, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave the city until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, and just a few days you will be baptized or immersed with the Holy Spirit. So when while the disciples were with them, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Did you hear that? Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? Out of all the times that the apostles spent with Jesus, they wanted to ask, is the time come for this restoration to take place? And Jesus answered and he said to them, verse 7 of Acts 1, the Father alone has the authority to set dates and times. They are not for you to know. But what is important, what I want you to get, guys, is not the times and the seasons. He said, but you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. He'll come upon you and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What we need is not more dates and times so that we can fill our calendar. But what we need is the Spirit of truth and the Word of God to lead us and guide us in our life. And so they all met, and in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house. What? Are you telling me these people aren't in church? These people are not even in the temple? No, they were in a house. They were all sitting in the house. They weren't dancing, they weren't shouting, they were sitting in the house. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Praise God. In other languages. And let me say, there is many times when the Holy Spirit will speak in the languages of men, but also the language of angels. In other words, a heavenly language. Something that is unlearned, as the Spirit gave them the ability. So there were people, obviously, they didn't know what had taken place. And Peter preached, he said, this was predicted by Joel, the prophet Joel. In the last days, verse 16 of Acts 2, God says, I will pour out, I will pour out, I will pour out. God says, I will pour out, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'm so interested. When we were praying, I don't know if you noticed, these young people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They need the Word of God, but they need the filling of the Holy Spirit in this day and hour. Yes, they do. And it's for the sons and daughters as well. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Oh my, I could go through the book of Acts with you and show you the occasions when the Holy Spirit fell on people, just fell on people. And it was interesting that even the Holy Spirit was poured out one day when Peter was speaking. And the Bible says, and as he was speaking, no one laid hands on them, but as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in other tongues. There was other times when Paul would lay his hands on people and they would begin to speak in tongues. You see, I don't think there's a formula for this thing. I just know that God wants it to happen. Glory to God. And you see, this outpouring of the Spirit, this oil, is not just so that we can act funny. It's not so that we can feel good. Okay. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit to the disciples, that it was being poured on them so that they would be witnesses. Be witnesses. It doesn't say do witnessing. It says being a witness. See, God delights when his people are filled with the fullness of him. In fact, when you read Ephesians, it talks about being filled with the fullness of God. And that fullness has to do with the maturing of Christ in us. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of God in us. Huh. David, as a shepherd, he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. Later on, he says, you honor me, God, by the anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Praise God. My question is your cup overflowing? My question is, have you been filled with the Spirit? My question is, do you know the presence and the anointing of God in the Word of God? You see. Yeah. We see all the time, we see how God anointed people, but was interesting, I have often seen that this precious gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, there are people that shake and they quake and they do all kinds of different things. In fact, my roots is from the Quakers. And to some people, they acted a little strange, and sometimes they do that. But these believers, you know what these believers did? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold properties and possessions and shared the money with those that had a need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals, and with great joy and generosity. Something had happened within them. When they heard the message of the gospel, something had happened within them. They had to be together. I really appreciate that word, Brother Don. That was really good. The reason why you come to this house. You see. When I come to church, I don't come as a consumer. I come as a giver. You see. I want to give my praise and my worship and my very best to God. And we all together, when we do that each time, it becomes a very corporate anointing. In fact, what happens is the Lord adds to their fellowship such as should be saved, according to what happened in Acts 2:47. The Lord kept adding to the church. We see it again and again throughout Acts. We see it again and again, how the Lord added, 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 the Lord added. They would get together and they hear reports from one another of all the believers. And what happened was, as soon as they would hear a report, they would all lift up their voices in prayer to God. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, when they did that, they heard the report of what had happened to the apostles and all the other believers that were going on. They lifted up their voice in prayer to God. O Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. And then it says in verse 31, after this prayer, the place where they were sitting was shaken. Ooh, praise God. Not a bad thing to have the place where you're sitting shaken. Maybe our place needs to be shaken. Glory to God. Oh, yes, they had to deal with sorcerers. They had to deal with... In fact, even as the apostles, they would go into a place, and the Bible says the Spirit did not bid them go there. The Spirit did not have them go there. The Spirit did not have them go there. What was happening? They were fueled by the Holy Spirit. They were led by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So, you know, Paul the Apostle received a word many times that, you know, was what was going to happen in Jerusalem, what was going to happen in Rome. And many of the believers would say to Paul, you can't go. You can't go to Jerusalem because you're going to suffer all this stuff. You can't go to Rome because you're going to suffer all this stuff. And what Paul was able to recognize, that which was flesh and that which was spirit. The Bible says that he was bound in spirit to go to Jerusalem. He was bound in spirit to go to Rome. He was able to discern that which was flesh and that which was spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord had told him that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and to Rome and suffer many things. He would stand up for Christ. And yeah, he would go through the process of pain and suffering and all that stuff. This guy that had wrought special miracles, that God had brought special miracles through the hands of Paul, that even when he would send handkerchiefs and aprons out, the diseases would depart from him and evil spirits would go out. Yes, he had to and was moved by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it was the oil of joy and gladness, and sometimes it was the oil that was in the morning. But nonetheless, Paul the Apostle had to move by the Spirit. In the Old Testament, the anointing word is ma, or the Hebrew word is mashak. And it basically means to rub to smear, to spread liquid. Glory to God. To rub with oil, to anoint by implication, to consecrate. In fact, it means to paint. And every now and again, I used to see ministers that they would take the oil and they would mark the sign of a cross on a forehead. And I'd go, where is that in Scripture? But actually, that paint, I found actually the one place in Jeremiah where it talks about paint. Actually used it. I didn't even know the word paint was in the Bible. But to smear, to anoint, to consecrate. In the New Testament, Strong's, you know, it means to, it's a soothing and a healing salve. By the smearing, by special endowment, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit unction. Now, Philippians says, be filled with all the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus. We don't have long, but I'm going to ask my wife to join me for a moment. The anointing of God is so that we would be able not just to, it's not a serving of ourselves, it's a serving God. So I'm going to invite you, if you want to receive this anointing of God, my wife will meet you over here and I will meet you here. And you can come and we're not going to slap your head or do any of that. We're just simply going to rub the anointing oil on your hands. You have to understand something. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If I was to take my hand over there to that wall and put it on the wall, you would see a little smudge because the anointing is tangible. The anointing is tangible. You want to receive of the anointing of God to help you better serve God and to serve others, then you come. You know what? It has no reflection on where you stand with God right now. Okay? I'm just asking you, if you want the impartation of the Spirit to come in and upon your life, come and receive. Come, Holy Spirit.
I need thee, come. I pray, come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need. Spirit, I pray, come in thy strength and thy power, come in thine own gentle way, come. Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Heavenly Father, we come to you in and through the mighty name of Jesus. That name that is above every name. That name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. And I thank you that, Father, you sent your Spirit to us to lead us and to guide us into all truth. I ask that you would be with these people, your people. You would strengthen them. You would lead them. You would guard them. You would instruct them. You would help them. That, Lord, that they would know and feel and do according to your word. That word which is forever settled in heaven. You would bless them, yes, in their going out and their coming in. Yes, you would bless them in their rising up and their sitting down. Yes, that you would bless even the works of their hands. And I thank you, Lord. Yes, that you would have us lay hands on the sick so that they can recover. You can make them whole. And we are here because we recognize we cannot do this thing on our own. We must have your word. We must have your anointing. In Jesus' name, we send them forth into the mission field, your field, that is already white unto harvest. And you would help them. Let them know, Lord, that it's not hard, it's not burdensome, it's not cumbersome, but your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Glory to God. And just help us as we distribute your love to all. In Jesus' name, go with us. Amen. The Lord bless you.